in chapter number 15. I was hoping we could do two chapters tonight. I'm always hoping. Then when you get to studying, it's like, ain't no way. There's like, impossible. And gracious. Mind-sobering stuff. Mind-sobering. Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. And we'll read verse 1 tonight, and then we'll get started. The Bible says, "Then I saw another wonder, sign, token, symbol." I'm reading from the Amplified. "In heaven, great and marvelous, warning of events of ominous significance. There were seven angels bringing seven plagues, afflictions, calamities, which are the last. For with them, God's wrath, indignation is completely expressed, or reaches its climax and is ended." Father, thank you tonight for your word. And we ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight to quicken us and help us, Lord God in heaven. We say we desperately need your touch tonight. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, and I pray, God, move in our hearts. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, most scholars agree that chapter number 15 is... And 16 should be together because 15 is so short. And that's why I was feeling, I said, well, man, maybe I can do two chapters tonight. I said, this is awesome, you know. And but, you know, when you get to chapter 15, you see just a few verses and it's like, it's no way. Somebody said, there's no way. But it is the shortest chapter in the book of Revelation, and it introduces the seven bowls. And I know the King James Version probably has vials in it, but we're going to talk about bowls. It's like one scholar said. He said, you know, they call them vials. He said, but when you take a vial and turn it up, it'll fizz. It, like it doesn't pour out all at once. But this is God pouring out his wrath with a bowl instantly, suddenly, and he's going to end it. Somebody say he's going to end it. So you begin to get an understanding of what's happening here because the Lord has all this wrath that has been stored up. All this wrath that's been stored up, and now it's like a bowl. How many knows a bowl empties really quick? Yes. Amen. If I took a vial and kind of poured it on you tonight, I might get you a little wet. But man, if I take a bowl and pour it on you, you're going to get it. Somebody say amen. Amen. So it also predicts that what has gone on in heaven before the final judgment comes when we look into this chapter tonight. And so I want to read verse number 1 again from the Amplified so we can get started. And it says, "Another wonder." Then I saw another wonder. Remember, John, when he's seeing these things, everything is a wonder to him. I was just thinking, you know, if we see an angel or if we see something significant that God reveals to us, something heavenly, like if we have a dream that comes from God, really comes from him, those things that shake you to the core. I'm not talking about these dreams that we have and we don't know what they mean or stuff like that. I believe God speaks really plain sometime. And I'm talking about right here when he's speaking in Revelation, he wants us to understand what's going on. And if you haven't gathered this by now, it's been like he's hammering the fact judgment's coming. And it ain't going to be good when it gets here. Little by little by little, he has released it, you know, through the trumpets. And now we come to the bowls, and we're going to see there's quite a significance between the two. And so I saw another wonder, a sign, a token, a symbol in heaven, great and marvelous, and a warning of events of ominous significance. There were seven angels bringing seven plagues, affliction, calamities, which are the last. For with them, God's wrath, indignation is completely expressed or reaches its climax and is ended. So this is the third of the great signs from heaven, and it's referred to as marvelous because it's so horrible. I mean, it's almost like when you hear those two words and somebody says, you know, well, man, that's marvelous. But I'm like, I get a different idea, you know, when I think about the word marvelous. I think about, you know, especially because he's talking about this is horrible. This is a horror to anybody who experiences this. This is so traumatic. I mean, when you just read it yourself as a child of God, you're thinking to yourself, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. And so as I tell so many people, you know, with your Bible, you need to have one of these with you all the time. And you need, if you don't have one, you need to get one. You need to read it and underline it, because David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So Scripture's teaching us that if we put the word of God in us, it's highly unlikely that we're going to live a sinful life, because we're going to read some things and say, "I ain't going there." Somebody look at somebody and say, "I'm not going to hell. Whatever it takes for me to get to heaven, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven." So it is the fullness of God's wrath that's going to bring about the fall of Satan, ultimately, is what we're looking at. We talked about this some last week. And also going to take with it the hordes of hell with it, the Antichrist, beast, false prophet. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to the day that God cans this confusion and that he casts it all in the lake of fire, because there's coming a time when God is just going to say, "That's it, it's done." But you think about, this is coming. This is what we're going to look at tonight as we go into this. He's going to wipe out the devil, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, and all the demons of hell, and all the wicked are going to be done away with. That's hard to imagine, because I know right now that when we look at our nation and we think about hell that's been unleashed on our kids and upon humanity, and we see people that are innocent becoming victims because they don't understand what's happening. I mean, you know, you're in the presence of, it's almost like when you go out the doors of a sanctuary into the world, or you go to Walmart, or you go to a mall. I've really never have felt comfortable in those places. I go to those places, but I don't stay long. I like to go in and get out. Amen. Most women like go in and stay. Because they're oblivious to anything. But I'm like, man, I felt all this stuff in here. This is, you know, but the world in general, just everything in the world, it's just like the whole world lies in wickedness, the Scripture says. And you can feel that. You can feel it. And I love my home. How many love your home? Amen. Place of peace. Praise God. You go in there, praise the Lord. I'm like, you know, hey, man, dump me some sand in the backyard. I got put my pool out there. I'm like, put me on some sound waves so I can hear the beach coming in. This is my beach, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, thank God for our homes, you know, that we have peace there. Peace there. But the enemy tries to take your peace even there through a television or through a radio or, you know, all kinds of stuff, just crazy stuff. And I thank God for Patrick County, Virginia. Amen. I thank God I don't live in New York City. Somebody say, New York City? Get out. Get out. Tim LaHaye says this. He said, Revelation becomes a lot more understandable when one recognizes the word sign really means symbol of revelation. And so that's so true. You know, I think about, you know, oftentimes, you know, we do illustrations. Really, it's a prophetic sign given to people so that they can see it with their eyes or understand it. So John is full of signs. He's full of, you know, he sees these signs, he sees these metaphors, he uses them to give us the description of the things that are going on. And so it is the symbol of a picture, you know, a symbol of a picture, prophetic events that can convey to us, you know, what the Scripture's saying. So he paints us pictures throughout the revelation of these things. And so in Revelation 12 and 1, think about this. We've already been through this. The woman is clothed with the sun. Remember, we said that stands for Israel. She's also a type of the church, okay? All right, then in Revelation 12 and 3, the great red dragon. So who's the great red dragon? Somebody say Satan. Satan. And then Revelation 15 and 1, we read this tonight. Seven angels, you know, with seven plagues. So you get this picture, you know, what these angels are bringing, what is about to come upon the earth. And so tonight in verse number 2, he says this, "Then I saw what seemed to be," here it is, "a glassy sea blended with fire, and those who had come off victorious from the beast and from his statue and from the number corresponding to his name were standing beside the glassy sea with harps of God in their hand." A lot of descriptiveness there. A lot of descriptiveness. And so this is the second class of things that appear here in this verse. So the first one, he says, this sea is crystal clear. You remember when we talked about that several chapters back when John said, I saw a crystal clear sea. And what did we say sea stood for? Somebody say the masses of humanity. The masses of humanity. Anytime that you read the word sea in the Bible, think about masses of people. And we could say, man, there's a sea of people in New York City. There's a sea of people in Detroit. There's a sea of people in California. There's a sea of people. And then right here, he says, in the second sea that he sees, though, is not clear. What is it? It's mingled with fire. Everybody say mixed of fire. Mixed of fire. So this is interesting to me because he's telling us something. He's talking about that. About judgment here and things that are going to be taking place. Because that first sea, you think about it's clear as crystal. I think about peace. Seriously. I think about purity. But when he talks about this second sea and the fire, he's talking about the tribulation saints are going to be coming up out of the sea of humanity. Remember, we've talked a lot about the tribulation saints. And so in our head, what we have to do is remove ourselves from this because the rapture is already taking place and we're in heaven. Because I know sometimes we're like, is this talking about me? No, it's talking about tribulation saints. Everybody say tribulation saints. Tribulation saints. And so they're going to be persecuted with fiery persecution. Everybody say fiery persecution. So these are they who have been victorious over the beast and over his image and over the number of his name. And they're not going to be deceived by the Antichrist. They're not going to be deceived by the false prophet. They're going to be tracked down. Listen, they're going to be hunted and tracked down is what the scripture is teaching us. And they're going to be ordered to take the mark of the beast. But because they do not take the mark, you know what their fate is going to be. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to be tortured. And they're going to be put to death. And that's simply because they chose not to deny Jesus during this time. Amen. But I want to kind of bring that forward to right now. How many, you know, when you hear things like this, you say, my God, I see trends of this happening right now. I see more persecution. I see more trouble. I see more turmoil. I mean, it's amazing to me what I hear on the news, you know, because if I venture there, and I did the other day just listening, and one of the, one leader, you know, he said this. He said, Christians are part of the problem. He's talking about you and me. And I'm like, really? I said, this is in a nation where we have the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, and all this stuff that our Constitution provides for us. But still, and yet we got leaders. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you, because what he's doing is sowing seeds into people that are in the world that do not know this. And so they believe, they're going to begin to believe. We already have vast numbers of people in America, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands probably, that believe that the church is an evil institution. That's hard to imagine in America. But still and yet it's true. So we can see this thing coming in the future. What does that tell me? Now is my salvation nearer than when I first believed. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, you need to start looking up because your redemption is drawing near. And so you think about right now with them hiring 187,000 more IRS agents. You know, you think about that. Why? Why? That's simply, some kind of Gestapo police, if you ask me. I mean, why would you need that? You know, why would you need that? Because, listen, when people become authority hungry, they'll league up with anybody to have that kind of power and authority. It's hard to imagine that some people like to kill. Some people like to murder. And so when you read this right here, you're talking about grace being removed. You're talking about God's presence gone. You're talking about the preaching of the gospel. Yes, people are going to be born again, but it's going to be quite different than what we have right now. Because when they go back under that sacrificial system and when they don't have the Holy Ghost like we have the Holy Ghost and they don't have the freedom of religion like we have, they're going to be hunted down, persecuted, and put to death. Because the only way that you're going to get to heaven is to give your life. And so we see those trends coming right now. In some nations, and we know this tonight, and you hear me ask you to pray from time to time for the saints that are in bonds. Because they're being persecuted, put to death for Christ's sake. We think about even ISIS. You remember ISIS? ISIS murdered Christians. They beheaded Christians. They delimbed Christians. They tortured Christians, little kids, and killed them. So you know that this spirit is alive and well already in the earth right now, the Antichrist. And we see that thing growing stronger. That is why we need to pray, as Deborah was saying tonight, as never before. Amen. It's just like during our 21-day fast that we're doing right now, the church doors open from 6 to 7. Look, I'll be the first one to tell you that I don't jump up and down just to get to come and pray for an hour each evening. I could be doing other things too, and I know you could. Thank God for the ones who are praying. But what I'm telling you this is that the more we pray, the more light is in the earth. The more we pray, the more darkness has to be removed from our area and in our nation. Amen. And so that's why it's important that when we come and we pray in the Holy Ghost and when we're seeking God and when we're fasting, we can't see it with our natural eyes, but we know in the realm of the Spirit that we're holding back and pushing back the forces of darkness. Amen. It's just like this spirit that's in the world. It's in my God, I was watching on Flashpoint the other night, and they had these, what do you call them, these transgender drag queens, and they were letting them touch them, giving them money, and little kids were doing this to the drag queens in the school. We're talking about like 5-year-olds. Man, I wanted to go into the TV, jerk them out, and glory, glory, hallelujah. Let me give us like, you know, hey. I'm like, you know, it's like this. I don't hate the homosexual, I want you, but I hate that spirit. I do not like that spirit. That spirit don't like me either. I've been in restaurants where the waiters have actually about fell in the floor because that thing manifested when it got around us. Amen. Spilt drinks, do all kinds of crazy stuff over the years. That's because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And so you see this spirit. That's part of it. The Antichrist is going to be a homosexual. He has no affinity for women. That's what the scripture says. That's why we see this thing in the world in which we're living right now. And, you know, that's why it is important for the saints of God to draw nearer to Jesus and live holy, godly lives and pray like we've never prayed before. My goodness, see, I'm like, here's the shortest chapter, and I'm already having a problem. I'm like, dear Lord, help me. You know, so they're going to track down the tribulation saints, anybody that's serving Jesus, and they're going to say either recant or die. Many of them will choose to die, thank God. They give the life for Jesus. And some are going to turn, they're going to serve the Antichrist. And, you know, so you see these things happening right now. The thing about it is the big deal with Christianity, we have eternal life. We have eternal life. You think about it, everybody knows what the Holy Grail is, the cup. You know, everybody's, you know, you think about that. We already have that, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. We choose to drink his cup. We choose to drink his cup, not the cup of the whore of Babylon. Amen? Hal Lindsey says this, real victory is not this verse in seeking to avoid conflicts. He says, but what it's saying to us is that he's saying to us tonight, he says, what we want to do in our lives is to understand that our lives are constantly in conflict with the enemy, and that when we show up, it causes trouble for him. Okay? Just by virtue of who we are and who I have in my life. This is what he said. The cemetery is full of people who fit the category of not standing up. Is that true? Yes. He said the kind of triumph that these martyrs of tribulation will experience will be deliverance through the fire, not out of the fire. And that's right. It's just like people need to understand, especially Christians, and tonight is this, God did never promise us that we would never have a trial. I'm going to say it one more time. Because number one, if you don't get what I'm saying right now, you will follow the Antichrist. You got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to stand. You got to be willing to do what's right. You got to be willing to walk through the fire. You got to be willing to say, I'm not giving into that. You got to be willing to say, no, I don't play that game. I'm living for Jesus. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. You see, when tribulation arises in our lives, and Jesus said, in this life you'll have tribulation. When we receive persecutions or troubles or trials and go through this stuff that we go through right now, it's going to be nothing like what's coming in the future. Look at somebody and say, we got the best thing there is. We do. We have the best thing that there is. And so, you know, I have to make up my mind that I'm going to pray. I have to make up my mind that I'm going to stay in the Word. I have to make up my mind that I'm going to live right. I have to make up my mind that I'm going to follow the heart of Jesus. Amen. And that if I walk through the fire, I shall not be burned. If I walk through the fire, it's just going to make me purer. Amen. Because I know one thing. God answers every prayer. Not on our timing, His timing. Not in our way, His way. Amen. I don't think I've ever had God to answer it on my time. Because if it would be now, right now, right now. How many say, God, do it now. Do it right now. Do it right now. Amen. I think we could wave our arms until we actually learn to fly before something like that would happen sometimes. And I have had God answer things speedily, but most of the time it's through process. Everybody say through process. But see, at the end of this thing, what God does for them is what we read in the scripture. He gives to them harps on their arrival. I love this. Revelation chapter number 15, verse number 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, mighty and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the omnipotent, righteous, just, and true are your ways, O sovereign of the ages, king of the nations. Amen. Matter of fact, we practiced that song tonight. That's right. Amen. So far too many don't understand the power of a song in your life. I'm not talking about when we come in here. I'm talking about when you're in the middle of your trial, start singing. The devil does not expect you to start singing. Somebody said, what am I going to sing? Listen, Moses had never sang that song before when he came out of the Red Sea. They had never sung the song of Moses before, and it just came. How God gave them triumph, how they triumphed over the horse and the rider, and Pharaoh drowned them in the midst of the sea, and all that stuff. So what you do is you start singing about the victory that God gives you and about something great God's done. You just sing the song of the Lord. Somebody say, I will sing a new song. A new song is what he's talking about. So the tribulation saints are going to have two songs. They're going to have the song of Moses, and then they're going to have the song of the Lamb. Somebody said, what's the song of the Lamb? I would say this. I sing songs to the Lamb all the time. Amen. I sing about Him saving. I sing about His blood. I sing about His goodness. I sing about His kindness. I sing about, you know, just stuff that just comes up out of my spirit. Amen. And I think it's good to do that because you begin to reflect upon what He's done, and it just comes out of you. You just begin to sing it. Doesn't matter what it sounds like. Nobody's listening to you. It's just you and Him. Amen. Amen. And the thing about it, you know, is that if you're singing off key, it's not going to matter. You just sing right back and let her fly. Somebody say amen. So Pharaoh's army was drowned when they had sang the song of Moses. Pharaoh's army had drowned. Somebody say it was gone. And so in the song of the Lamb is found this verse. It celebrates God's reign and celebrates God's victory over the nations, because the Bible says what? The deeds of Jesus are great and marvelous. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O Lord, for you are the King of saints. Who will not fear thee? See, this is what it is. That's what the scripture says. We just, you know, that is the song of the Lamb. So the ways of Jesus are just and true. Amen. And He is never unfaithful. Somebody say, praise God. And He is never unjust. He's the King of the ages. And I'll be so glad when He's in rule and not President Biden. Acting President Biden. Amen. I'll have Jesus over top of Donald Trump, over anybody else. I'd rather have the King Jesus. Somebody say, He's the eternal King, the one who reigns, who has reigned, and the one who will reign. Praise God. Matter of fact, He's my King now. Not going to be, is. Somebody say, He is. Now, Peter and Paul Lalonde say this, those who reject God will grow closer and closer to a very real decision to join forces with the spirit of the Antichrist, blaspheme God, and fight against Christ in the hopeless battle of Armageddon, is what he's talking about. you are already on one of the other roads. We are. We're already on one of the other roads because there is no other opinion. It's either God or the devil. It's either good or evil, light or darkness. It's either Christ or the Antichrist. So we're on one side or the other, and we are right now. Somebody say right now, right now. Okay, Revelation verse number 4 and 5, it says this. Who shall not reverence and glorify your name, O Lord God, giving you honor and praise in worship, for you only are holy. All the nations shall come and pay homage and adoration to you, for you are just. Your judgments are just. You are righteous. Your righteous sentences and deeds have been made known and delayed. Man. You see, today there's only just a few people that speak about the reverential fear of God. Amen? Think about this. Giving him glory and honor. This is also what he's talking about with the Song of the Lamb, the song that we read in Scripture tonight. But you think about, our world seems to think there's something wrong with having a reverential fear of God. I'm not going to serve a tyrant. You already are. The government is the tyrant. My God, we've had them. Amen. It's an oppressive force. Satan is behind it. And so what's important, you know, for me to know is that that's of utmost importance is that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I have a reverential fear for him right now. So Jesus should be feared and glorified because he alone is holy. He's the only one to live by all of God's standards. The only one worthy of our worship. The only one who never sinned and has been hallowed or set apart for God's special purpose and atonement for sin. Jesus should be feared and glorified because he will be worshiped by all the nations. Somebody say all nations. The day's going to come when he will deal with the godless leaders of this world. Somebody say hallelujah. And he's going to do away with them and every nation who does not worship him. Jesus should be feared and glorified because he is right. His righteous acts are revealed to us. Hallelujah. And you think about those terrible judgments of tribulation period. You know that what they are the righteous acts of Jesus. Amen. Light and darkness do not mix. God walks in, the devil walks out. Righteousness comes, unrighteousness leaves. Sin has to give way to holiness and righteousness. Think about this, that Jesus is going to deal with everyone who does not accept his mercy. You got to think of it like this right here. Okay, because, you know, when you read some of this stuff, I know that people think, well, you know, that sounds like God is mean. No, God's not mean. You think about this. For 2,000 years since his son died, and even going back to human history, God has taken great steps to redeem man and bring man to himself. And so over the past 2,000 years since his son was crucified on a cross for once and for all for us that our sins could be washed away, I mean, you think about the patience of God. And you think about during this tribulation period, because everything that happens, a third of this, a third of that, a third of this, a third of that, and then he's coming right now because it's going to be some completion, completion, completion. But in every step of this, God is saying, look, I'm giving you one more chance. Please turn. I'm giving you one more chance. Please turn. I'm giving you one more chance. Please turn before this happens. And so it's important for, you know, for me to understand that the tribulation period is for people that do not accept the mercy of God. Amen. Verse number 5, after this I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of the testimony in heaven was open. So the temple of heaven is going to be open. The Holy of Holies inside the temple is going to be open, followed by the Ark of the Covenant inside of the Holy of Holies. Now listen, the Ark of the Covenant contains what? The Ten Commandments, which are sometimes called the law or the law for the testimony, the law. So those who reject God's grace and mercy through death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, those who reject him are going to have to be judged by the law of Moses. You get that? Okay. Because number one, you got to understand, we're already in heaven. We're there. This sanctuary is opened up in heaven. So what is there? Nothing but the law of Moses for those people who have rejected Christ. And so the Jews, somebody say the Jewish people, that right now, they're even setting up their sacrificial systems. So, you know, they're inspecting the red heifers. We talked about that last week, all the different things. But, you know, it's important for us to grasp the fact tonight that he's talking about those who reject Jesus Christ and have rejected him are going to have to be judged by the law of Moses. Look at somebody, say that means stoning, being put to death. Amen. So in rejecting what God offers, they reject Jesus. You understand that? It's just like our world right now. You think about, you know, as much of Jesus as is preached, you go to all the Christian channels, you go to the radio stations, you go to the live streams, you go to all the different things. And so Christ is being preached, I mean, in the nations of the earth, in America right now. But you think about how many people just reject that. Don't want anything to do with it. This is probably one of people's favorite sayings. Well, I'm not going to go to that church because there's too many hypocrites. I would go to church, but you know, I don't like the people that go there. Well, how do we expect to even go to heaven? I mean, one of the others is going to be missing here. You know what I'm saying? That's what people think. The thing about it is that when you receive Christ, you die to you. Amen? You die to you. So, the most important thing is that people receive Jesus now so that it can avoid being judged by the law in the future. Amen? Because God is what? Just and true, and he's going to do what his word says. All right? So man is going to have to face the judgment of God according to the law of Moses in the future. Somebody say in the future, or either die a martyr. All right, listen. Revelation chapter 15, verses 6 and 8. And there came out of the temple sanctuary the seven angels bringing the seven plagues, afflictions, calamities, and they were arrayed in pure gleaming linen, and around their breasts they wore golden girdles. It's almost like a tongue twister. So seven angels are going to come out of this temple. Somebody said they're going to come out of the temple. Seven angels are going to come out of that temple, and they're going to be dressed in clean, shining linen, signifying their righteousness. Okay? So they're going to wear golden sashes around their chest, signifying the royal priesthood. So these seven angels, they're going to move away from the temple. Listen to me. They're going to move away from the temple, and they're going to move away from the mercy seat. What's on top of the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat. So they are royal, and they're powerful priests, because remember, under that old covenant, that priest is the one you went to. You gave the sacrifice to, the one that you presented yourself to. The judgment's there. You think about this. This priest is preparing to pour out the wrath of God because they have left the mercy seat. This is important for us to get. So they have, you think about all the people on the earth, all the people on the earth have flouted God. They've turned away from him, mocked him, and to follow the Antichrist, and they took the mark of the beast. Somebody say they took his mark, his image. And so they rejected Jesus. So now they're going to have to face the wrath of God. Somebody said they're going to face God's wrath. Verse number 7. And one of the four living creatures then gave the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath and indignation of God, who lives forever and ever in the eternities of eternity. So these four living creatures are going to, they're going to hand these seven angels, they're going to be handed seven bowls. Everybody say seven bowls full of the wrath of God. That's a lot. Somebody say that's a lot of anger. Somebody said, how big are the bowls? I don't know. I wouldn't want one of them. Not one. So some translations that we said call them vials, but these are bowls. They're really bowls. They're called bowls because they can be quickly emptied, what God's getting ready to do. So under the old covenant, once a year on the Day of Atonement, which will be October the 5th, what happened? They went to Jerusalem. There that lamb was offered. The lambs were offered, one for a household. Remember that high priest went into the Holy of Holies, offered that blood up on the mercy seat there for the nation. You remember that? Under the old covenant. So this was to offer atonement for the sins of the people. So since the Antichrist nor his followers have accepted the blood of Jesus as an atonement for their sins, what they're going to have is the bowl of God's wrath. Remember that priest went in with a bowl of blood and he poured it upon the mercy seat. So what's going to happen here? The bowl of God's wrath is going to be poured out upon the earth for everybody who's never been washed in the blood and received the mercy of God. Now, J. Vernon McGee, he says this. He says, notice that they are not, that these bowls are not filled with love, but they're filled with wrath. The big thing right now with people is that, you know, well, God loves me. God loves us, and he could never, never, never punish man. Well, right here, he's doing it. This is judgment. I want to say it again. Church is gone. We're out of here. This is almost at the end of tribulation period right here. This is coming down to the final mark. It's coming down to the end, the very, very end. And so here what you see is that these angels turned. They've gone out of the temple, turned away from the mercy seat. Why? Because God said, there's no more mercy left. That's it. There's no more mercy. This is all that's left, the bowl of my judgment and my wrath. And I'm getting ready to pour it out upon the planet. I'm getting ready to pour it out. So verse number 8, and the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory, the radiance, the splendor of God, and from his might and power. And no one was able to go into the sanctuary until the seven plagues, affliction, calamities of the seven angels were ended. Wow. So things are going to get worse and worse for those who reject God, the scripture's telling us. So when these priestly angels leave the temple of God, the Bible says it's going to be filled with smoke, it's going to be filled with the glory and the power of God. So what does that tell you? Remember under the old covenant when the glory cloud came and the smoke came into the sanctuary, the Bible said nobody could go into it. Nobody could enter. So no one's going to be able to go back in to the Holy of Holies. No one is going to be able to change their mind on this earth. Think about this and say, Lord, will you please pour blood on that mercy seat? Now, I want you to think just for a few moments about the hundreds of thousands of millions of people that are still going to be alive. Mercy's gone. There is no more mercy. Nothing but bowls of wrath. Bowls of wrath. No more mercy until these seven plagues are passed. This God is just pouring it out. He's pouring it out. So this is a warning to hold humanity accountable for everybody that rejects God. So what the Lord is telling us, John's saying in the Revelation, he said, look, I want you to understand, you can avoid this. You don't have to be on this planet when all this takes place. All you have to do is to receive Jesus' sacrifice on the cross now. Amen. It sounds like a good deal to me. Amen. I'd rather be washed in the blood. Somebody say washed in the blood. So those that have rejected the truth, they're not going to be able to change anything at this point in time. It's done. Somebody say it's done. It is done. It's no more mercy right here. This is coming. This come to the place where God says it's over. It's over. So you think about Noah's Ark. You remember the people. You think about the Bible says, and God shut the door. The rain had already started. Remember, God shut the door. He put Noah inside, all of those animals, male and female. Let's think for a moment. Same thing God did in the very beginning when he created male and female, said be fruitful and multiply. So when he put those, he said, okay, if I'm going to reseed the earth, I'm going to have a man and I'm going to have a woman and I'm going to put Noah and his family inside the ark. Somebody say, yes, he did. Amen. And so it's important for me to understand God did that to preserve. Somebody say to preserve. God shut the door. Once the door was shut, the flood came. Rained 40 days and 40 nights upon the earth. Is that right? 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing died. Now think about that. Can you imagine the people's fists that were just beat probably almost completely off, or they were trying to get somebody to open that door? Can you imagine these plagues being poured out? Because we didn't get into this tonight, but they're going to be open lesion sores that they're smitten with. These people are going to be burning. The sun is going to be so hot that they can't escape it. It's going to be burning their flesh. It's going to be burning where those sores are running. And this, the Greek language has it in such a way that, you know, some scholars feel like that's going to be such a stench that comes from the odor of these open lesions and sores upon people's bodies. And they are, you know, and then on top of that, they're going to be so in so much pain. They're going to writhe. And the Bible said that they're going to gnaw their tongues because of the pain that they're in. And they're going to beg for God to just let them die. Just let me die. But they're not going to be able to do it. You think about that, because that is horrendous. So there's a double-fold message in this, because God wants us to reap the harvest now. But he wants us to pray that the light and the glory of God through Jesus Christ will shine into this dark world, and so that we can evangelize and reach as many souls as we possibly can, because the church has become so complacent in just living everyday life that we don't consider the lost. We don't consider whether a person needs Jesus or not. See, we need, somebody said we need travail. We need to become broken. We need to become sensitive. I mean, Jesus, after all, he left heaven, came to this earth, took on flesh, went to the cross and was crucified and murdered so that he could save you and me. Somebody say, the Bible says, say this one, say, the Bible says he died the extreme death of the cross. God is telling us something. He said, look, it's a painful thing to win souls, because it costs you everything. It costs you dying to you and your desires and all your likes and all the passions that you have, so that you can get a frame of mind like Jesus and be redemptive in your nature like he is. Because this is a really hard thing to do. I'll be the first one to say it, is that you live your life where you're conscious of souls every single day, because it requires prayer, it requires the word, and it requires you almost just writing it and putting it in front of your face, so it's the first thing that you see every day. Jesus died to save souls. How many are you saving today? How many are you praying for today? What are you doing to see the harvest reaped? Amen. What are you doing to do that? Because that's why we even have a revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is the gospel being preached to us, that God's saying, look, I am patient, I am long-suffering, and if you follow his heart, God went all the way to the end. And you know what the Bible said? For all this, men still did not repent. Some of them did, but it's amazing to me that they knew, because angels were preaching, all this stuff was happening, and they knew all they had to do is repent, unless they had taken that mark and receive the image of the beast. And so tonight, you know, I want this to stir us to be more evangelistic in our thinking, to be more soul conscious of people that we're around. Amen. It's just like this. You know, we know somebody that's lost. We know somebody that's getting ready to go out into eternity. We work with them, we know them, they're a family member or whatever, and we think, well, they're going to get saved sometime. Sometimes you just need to look at a person and say, you know something? I'm going to take the time to tell you the story of Jesus, because you could draw your last breath before I leave here, and you're going to walk out into eternity. And I love you enough that I want to tell you the truth. I love you enough that I want to share this with you. And it's, you know, that's where we need to be with the Lord. Amen. And man, when we get that kind of consciousness, we become so powerful in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. So that brings us up to chapter number 16. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, I just thank you, Father, that you have revealed to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ, your Son, Father, that there's coming a time, Lord, when mercy is going to be gone completely. No more opportunities, no more time, even in that tribulation period. God, there are people there. You've gone all the way to the end to warn humanity. And Father, we pray tonight that God, that there will be a holy invasion into the hearts and the minds of the sinner now. We pray, Father, that in Jesus Christ's name, Lord, that wherever they are, if they do not know you, if they are backslid, if they're in a condition that if they would go into eternity without knowing you, I pray right now for the conviction of the Holy Ghost to come upon them. God, deal with them. Deal with them. Let there be light. You said if they're lost, it's because of the God of this world who's blinded their minds. So we pray, open their blinded eyes. You've come to recover the sight of the blind. We pray tonight that those blind sinners will see. Father, we pray in Jesus' name and ask you, Father, to send laborers across their paths. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart throb to see the lost born again. Not just being satisfied, Father God, with me being okay. But Father God, to have sleepless nights and restlessness for the lost that we know. My God, Father in heaven, we ask you in Jesus' name, God, that your redemptive power, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, for all that you sent your son to die for, we pray, Father, and invoke the name of Jesus that you release and pour out the Holy Ghost, the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the manifest presence of God, Father God, like you have done during great awakenings. We need that now. We need it today. We need it on us. God, we need it in the depths of our soul. We need, God, the stirring. Not to sit around and say, well, if I just knew what the will of God is, God in heaven, your will is for us to do it. And I pray and ask you, God, Lord, that you will so move us, let us feel your heart. Let us see you, Lord. God in heaven, we pray for that ability and anointing to be released upon us, Father. In this house, set us on fire. Set us on fire. Soak us in the oil of the Spirit until it oozes out every pore, until our eyes and our nostrils and our mouths and our ears are so soaked with the oil of the Spirit of God that you light a match to us. Father God, that we burn like lamps ought to burn. Holy Ghost, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. We have got to have you. God, to break the bondage of the LGBTQ, transgender, the confusion, the darkness. God, we need what Charles Finney had. We need what Father Nash had. We need what Brother Clary had. We need that, Father God. We need what the Jeffrey brothers had. We need that awakening, God. We need what Lord Evan Roberts had. We need what Lester Sumrall had. We need what Oral Roberts had. We need what A.A. Allen had. God, the church, we have got to have this, Father. We can't function without it. We can't. And you promised. You promised. You promised you would pour out your Spirit on our sons and our daughters and upon the handmaids and upon the servants. Father, that you would pour out your Spirit. You promised that, Father. God, I hold you to your promise because I can't be what I need to be without that. And your people cannot be what they need to be without that. God, we have got to have it because that's the difference maker. I pray for the spirit of might to hit us. God, where the devil's been wearing us out and beating us down and this happens and that happens. I pray for the spirit of might. Father God, to where we wear devils out instead in Jesus' name. Father, we want to be the thorn, God, in his side. Lord Jesus, have your way tonight in your church. This is your church. It belongs to you. You bought it with your blood. God, help us surrender. God, help us surrender. We don't have time for frivolous stuff. God, help us to surrender. Oh, Jesus, we need it, Lord. We need it, God. Now, I pray tonight, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance to you, turn his face toward you, be gracious to you. And may the Lord of heaven grant you peace. And may the God of heaven empty out the Spirit of God upon us all. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we believe that we receive that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. 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 I want to remind you, we're here from 6 to 7 o'clock every night with the doors open.